Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Well, church, today I get the privilege to be able to share with you around the message, and I really believe this is a word from God. I loved it last night at camp. Kate Cowan spoke there, and I loved listening to that word. She did a phenomenal job. But I was just so, I'm in love with God and how He just does this, that, you know, even so many of the aspects of my message tonight, you know, Kate was sharing aspects of that as well. And it really just shows me that God's just got a mission for us, right? And it's my prayer tonight that, you know, you don't just hear the words that I share and some of the stuff that I'm talking about, but it is my absolute prayer that the Holy Spirit is so real and tangible in this place tonight, because my words mean nothing without the Holy Spirit, hey? And it's my prayer that every single one of us get an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And if you've never met the Holy Spirit and understand this concept, tonight it is my prayer that you see Him and experience Him in a real way in your life, hey? Well, ignoring the fact that we can't travel at the moment, is there anybody here who's ever done any backpacking of any kind? I've got one hand, two hands. It's like, or are we all more of a five-star hotel resort? So yeah. Well, I am now. I'm married to an incredible woman, and we enjoy the finer things. I like the nicer holidays too. But 12 years ago, a mate and I sort of went on a backpacking holiday to Southeast Asia. We booked return tickets to KL. We knew we were going to be there for 3 weeks, and we had no plan of where we were going to be in between. So we just knew the date that we had to be back in KL to fly back. We bought the cheapest tickets we could find to get there, and we thought, let's just have a backpacking adventure. And we went through Malaysia, right through Thailand. We caught buses, of course, everywhere, because that was the cheapest mode of transport to get across everywhere. And we saw so many areas and experienced so much of these countries, and it was amazing. We went with a backpack on our back and rocked up in KL, and 3 weeks later, we rocked up back in Perth with that same backpack and a full suitcase each worth of stuff. We bought shoes and shirts and jeans, and, you know, I had my Quicksilver boardies and Dolce & Gabbana jeans, all real, I admit, no. I had Mont Blanc watch and pen and cufflinks. We bought so much stuff, all replicas, fakes, imitations, and everything was rubbish. The whole lot of it was just rubbish, right? We had so much fun there doing this shopping. We got caught up in the stigma that is this shopping over there in the markets and everything. And if you've ever been there, you know people yelling from one market to the other, talking how their genuine fake is better than the next, how their same, same, but different t-shirt is better for you and you need to get it from them. And, you know, we had so much fun. But I'm glad I did it with a mate, because my wife would never, ever, ever, ever do that sort of holiday with me. And since being married, I will admit that my standards have lifted on that. I've never done that, bought fakes like that since. And please don't send any emails. I have been, you know, I don't do that anymore. I understand the repercussions of that industry. But, you know, we came back with a whole heap of rubbish, of imitations, of fakes, you know, of replicas. It didn't matter how good a copy this thing was. Very soon, the batteries ran out. The ink dried out way sooner than it should have. The clothes shrunk after their first wash or fell apart, whichever came first. But, you know, everything turned out to just be the imitations and fakes that they really were. And it's in this vein today that I want to speak to you around the area of fighting fake. Come on. You see, nothing we bought back then was an original. Everything was a copy, a fake. So often it's like that in life for us, isn't it? That, you know, we get caught up. For me, I got caught up in the moment in Southeast Asia and, you know, buying all this stuff and excited around all these imitations and copies of everything. And, you know, so often that's like us, that we're checking out social media. We see everybody's on social media, what their life is like, and we try to do what the next person does. We take our parenting advice from someone's fake you know, imitation is what they're putting out there. Everyone's putting their best foot forward or their imitation or their fake. And it's like we're all wearing masks so often, isn't it? It's like we get caught up in this culture that we're trying to copy and imitate a whole bunch of masks. That we're not chasing reality. We're not trying to find out who we are ourselves. We're trying to be what people, what we think people want us to be. When we're so insecure in ourselves and we put on a fake image, a mask, it might be a smile that's just not going to last. When we try to be someone that others expect us to be, but it's truly not us, we can never sustain that sort of life, can we? Fighting fake is about being your authentic self. It's about being free to be who God has called you to be. Not being stuck in a cycle of continuously trying to be someone you're not, and more importantly, who God has not designed or created you to be. Our world is filled with cheap replicas, imitations of something greater. Imitations come into being because there is a market for something that looks like the truth, but a lack of desire to pay the price for authenticity. And this word authenticity is such a powerful word, and it's an amazing word, and I love it. And, you know, it's one of our words that we have in our culture statements too as well here. But it's way easier to say it than actually be it, isn't it? The problem is that there is a dilemma in the human heart. We so often have this propensity to run and hide when it's actually our moment to stand up or arise. Whether it's to hide behind an image that people expect of you, whether you try to imitate someone else who you think has it all together, or maybe you just find yourself hiding. You know, maybe you have a faith or you come to church on a Sunday, and you can be a Christian on a Sunday, but when it comes to a Monday, it's just so hard to still be that same person. You know, that might just feel like it's a bit beyond you. We need to ask ourselves why it is that we need to live behind these fake images, to have these imitations. Why we're so confident behind a computer keyboard or a mobile phone, but when it comes to engaging in people on a face-to-face basis, we feel the need to put up a mask. There's a whole bunch of people from camp here, isn't there? You know, so many of you would have had an incredible encounter at camp, right? You had this amazing experience. Maybe God rocked up in a way that you've never experienced before, and you had this radical transforming moment on an altar at camp. But it's my prayer and absolute prayer that tomorrow morning when you wake up in your own bed at home with your family around you or maybe your friends there, that you still understand and believe that experience you had there at camp. That in a week and a half or so when you're back at school, that you still have that same conviction and still have that same testimony of what God has done in your life. That the fear and the fake has not consumed you in the meantime, but you stand with a conviction that God has a calling for your life. Maybe you're looking at me now and you're like, yeah, Rick, I get it. I hear what you're saying. But you don't know what my workplace is like, or you don't know what my family's like, or you don't know what it's like in my school. I can't be that person that I want to be. I can't be the Christian that I know God has called me to be. Maybe you feel you're stuck in that place where you have to have that mask up, where you have to be consumed by being an imitation. You see, I believe in revival. I believe that revival is real. And I believe we can see revival in this generation because this generation has a faith that God has a plan for them. A unique and incredible plan for every single one of you. But revival will only come when we throw off performance and we put on faith. And that's just a fact. All my fakes that I bought, all these imitations, none of them could replace the real thing. People can spot a fake or a performance a mile away. That might be because it says Chanel on the t-shirt rather than Chanel or something similar, you know. Or maybe the quality is just obviously not like the original. But when we're striving to be someone or something else, we're not living in faith. We're striving in our own strength, aren't we? Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." Let's make a decision today to throw off all that hinders us, right? Let's throw off everything that holds us back or tears us down. You know, or the sin that we so often find consumes us or entangles us. Fake is such a heavy chain or burden to bear, isn't it? We need to throw off everything that hinders. We need to rip off that mask of fake, of imitation, because it stops us being authentic and all that God has planned for us. This mask of fake, of imitation, is actually rooted in shame, in guilt, in condemnation and insecurity. You need to know that none of these things come from God. None of them are found in God. God's plan for you has never been to see you hiding away, insecure, timid and shy. He wants us to be a people that walk in faith, not fear. God wants to kill that imposter, to just get rid of that mask that is in front of you, because God wants to see you become everything that He has designed and purposed you to be. Have we heard of the word hypocrite? You know, do you know that word actually comes from an ancient Greek word? And that word originally was the word for actor. That's what its translation comes from. Now, what happened in the old times, way back in Greek theater, they didn't have the beautiful LED screens, even in the overflow room that we have today, and the speaker systems. There were big theaters and open-air theaters, and the actors had to have masks that they placed in front of their faces, big, oversized masks. Now, those masks had different emotions and personas so that the actors could convey who they were trying to be. So these actors put on different personas by putting a different mask in front of their face. And that is where the word hypocrite comes from. Today we understand the word as someone who pretends to have virtues, morals, standards that they just don't actually possess. We see this word used in the Bible referencing the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were religious people, and we see regularly in the New Testament Gospels, they're spoken about. Now, these Pharisees were supposed to lead people to God. They were supposed to be the people of God leading the people to Him. But instead, they wore these extravagant robes, and they walked around all piously, just telling everybody what to do, judging people on their physical merits or how big their offering was that they put in the bucket. We read in Matthew 23, the entire chapter is a scathing rant from Jesus telling the Pharisees what He really thought of them. And it is, and I mean it when I say it's a scathing rant that He says them, because Jesus hated hypocrisy. He hated the fake. Jesus wanted authenticity. He wanted authentic people. And it didn't matter if you were a sinner and what we deem to be the worst of the worst. If you were authentic, Jesus was there for you. And we see Him having an absolute rant at these people. He actually called them whitewashed tombs. Because a whitewashed tomb looks good and clean and all beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, it is full of death. And these Pharisees looked like they had it all together on the outside, but on the inside, they were spiritually dead. And God's plan for us was never for us to live a life where we were dead inside. He never wanted us to just look good on the outside but be dead on the inside. That was never His plan for us. The thing is that so often holds us back from living this open, honest, and vulnerable life is fear. When the image we portray is controlled by fear, we succumb to this hypocrisy. We succumb to worry. We succumb to anger, shame, guilt, insecurity, frustration, and even judgment rather than love. Because we're incapable of loving because everything is a competition. There's a story in the book of Judges about a guy named Gideon. Now, the context of this time is that in this season, the enemies of the Israelites were the Midianites. And every single year, every season, these Midianites would come in, like hundreds of thousands of them on camels would come through and would annihilate the crops and the livestock of the Israelites. They would come and burn all the fields, rip them down. They would take all the livestock from the people. And this happened year after year after year. And the people, and especially this guy Gideon, were living in absolute fear of these Midianites. And we jump into the story here in Judges 6, where Gideon is actually hiding in a wine press, which is designed for something very different, and he is threshing wheat in there. Now, this wine press was never designed for that purpose, but we find Gideon hiding away in a wine press, doing something in a place that was never designed for that task. And we read here in Judges 6, we see what about this story, because Gideon was literally hiding from people, but not just from people. He was hiding from God. And yet God saw him. God called him, and God called him Mighty Warrior, because God had a plan for him. It didn't matter how fearful, how insecure he was, God had a plan for this man, and he wasn't going to give up on him, no matter how many excuses Gideon kept coming up with. And so we read here in Judges 6, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And I love that statement, because it's incredible how the angel of the Lord came, and before Gideon had even said anything or done anything, he called him a mighty warrior. This insecure, sort of fearful man was now called a mighty warrior. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." At this moment, I reckon I'd be thinking, if I was God, I'd be thinking, "Oh, flip, have I got the right guy?" The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered him again, ignoring him, I reckon, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." You see, Gideon was hiding. He was fearful. He was so consumed with his fear, with this mask of inferiority and insecurity, that he didn't even hear God's declaration over him and his life. You see, God said to him, "You mighty warrior." And Gideon said, "But I'm the least in my clan." God said, "I will be with you, and you will defeat the enemy." And this is a bit that I want you to hear. Every single one of us, me included, I want you to grab a hold of this, because God never said you had to step out on your own or do it yourself. Right? The words of God, of the angel of the Lord, it says here in Judges 6, verse 34, It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. You see, God says His Spirit will be with us. He's never asking us to do this on our own. His Spirit will be with us. And so Judges 6 says that. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. And through the Spirit of the Lord coming on him, Gideon was able to gather and become the commander of 30,000 Israelite warriors. He was able, this insecure, timid, fearful man, when the power of the Lord fell on him and the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was able to become the commander of 30,000 warriors. But you see, the story doesn't finish there, because God realized that, you know, us people, you know, we all tend to be the same. And He knew that Gideon with his 30,000, if they went up against the Midianites, who actually had 135,000 warriors, if the Israelites still won that battle, there'd still be a strong possibility that they'd be like, oh yeah, we did this in our own strength. Aren't we awesome? We came up and we won that battle against all these Midianites. We're all a bit guilty of that, aren't we? But you know what? God said to him, all right, nope, 30,000 is way too much. And He whittled it down to 300 men that went to battle with Gideon. 300 men. And He didn't even give them a weapon. He sent them out with clay jars with a torch in it and a trumpet. Great deal of good a trumpet's going to go against 135 warriors, 135,000 warriors. But you know what happened on that day? God absolutely rocked up. God turned the Midianites against themselves and they wiped themselves out. God did an incredible miracle that day, and all the glory went to God in that moment as He proved to Gideon that under the power of the Spirit of God, he could do anything. When we give into fear, we will never step into the incredible plan God has for your life. Fear will keep us putting up fake images, fake personas, being imitations of others, and living behind a mask. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live that life. Not anymore. You see, for me, when I was in high school, the first 3 years of high school for me were years of running, were years of hiding. It was years for me of being bullied and trying to put up a mask like everything was okay and everything was fine and trying to be the person I needed to be to avoid that intimidation. I became such an insecure guy in that place. I had to try to put up an image to try to avoid all these issues. I was constantly feeling inadequate, not enough. And I can so relate to Gideon in that place. You know, where Gideon said we can pay out on him for, you know, God speaking to him, he continuously makes up all these excuses to God and makes God continuously prove to him that he is God and he's going to come through. But I reckon I would have done exactly the same thing. You know, in my place of insecurity, I didn't believe I was good enough. I didn't believe that God could use me. I would have said the same thing. God, surely you got the wrong person. No one's going to listen to me. No one's going to follow me. Come on, surely there's someone better out there who you can use. And I've said that many times in my life. Come on, God, surely there's someone else. Surely I'm not good enough. And I've let my insecurities get the better of me. To the point that even as I moved schools in upper high school, I still was consumed by these insecurities. Even when people were suddenly, I had all these nice people around me, speaking life into me, being friends, I was still so doubtful and insecure. And it wasn't until I was in my early 20s when literally I faced probably one of the greatest sort of rejections in my life. I had this time of rejection where I was at such a low point for myself that I had no other choice but to go to God. And finally, give up putting up that mask of imitation, trying to be someone else, trying to be a position of stature and try to have a position. But instead, I had to go to God and say, okay, God, I'm tired. I can't do this on my own anymore. I need you to take control. I need you to tell me the plan and purpose you have for my life. And I had to call on in that moment the Holy Spirit to give me the boldness and confidence to make it through. And it was in that place where I heard God speak life over me. And it was in that moment where I started to grasp the incredible plan and purpose that God had for me. And it's my prayer for you today as well, that if you find yourself in that place, if you find yourself continuously with a mask in front, I know you must be so tired trying to keep up this mask. And it's my prayer tonight that the Holy Spirit is going to fall down on this place. And the Holy Spirit is going to give you a strength and boldness in this place to fight the fake, to put away the fear, and allow you to have the boldness and confidence to step forward and say, okay, God, I'm ready to lay down everything else and step into what you have for me. Because I believe in what happened at camp. Arise is exactly what God's calling is for every single one of us. He wants us to arise, but to arise, we have to put away the fear and intimidation. We have to lay down that mask so that we can step up into everything that God has planned for you in your life. You need to know here today that God says you are enough. His words over each and every one of us are words of restoration, of life, of hope, of purpose, and a good future. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." This was a revelation that I received when I was at my lowest point. That he has called me by name. That he will never leave me nor forsake me. So the future was bright when I was doing it with God. You see, the reason for so many of us why we wear these masks is that we think people won't love us anymore if our true self comes out. If people know of the sin and struggles and insecurities that we actually have, that maybe they won't love us anymore. That we're scared that maybe people won't think we're a good Christian if they know the truth about us. Maybe we think people won't care when people come up and say, "How are you?" You just blame, you know, a mask goes up because you don't think they're going to care enough to hear the real answer. Maybe you're afraid of the gossip of what people will say if finally that mask comes down and your true self isn't as perfect as, you know, the perfect persona that you've been putting out there for so long. What God says about you is so much more important than anything anyone else can say. And I mean it when I say it, that it will never be as bad as what you're making up in your head. Because you know why I know that? Because the enemy is the liar that's putting those thoughts into your mind. It's the enemy's plan to put fear, rejection, intimidation into your head. He wants you to stay small and tucked behind a mask because the enemy knows full well that if you're hiding behind a mask, if you're hiding behind imitation, if you're hiding in a place of fear, that you are never going to be everything God has planned for you. And the enemy even knows that God's plan for you is incredible and good. See, God has an incredible future for every single one of you. His purpose and plan for you is amazing. And I can tell you that from my life, that it doesn't matter what has gone on in your past. It doesn't matter what your experiences or situations have been in the past. God's plan for you is amazing. His love and restoration in your life is so beautiful. And every single one of us can accept that. You see, 1 John 4:18 says, "Perfect love drives out fear." You know, God doesn't just want to see you restored. He wants to see you activated. He wants to see you become everything that He has planned for you. He has incredible gifts and talents just waiting for you to say, God, give them to me. Right? God is ready to empower you now. You have permission to be all that God has made you to be. God wants you living a life of faith, not of fear. Being led and activated by the Holy Spirit. Like we saw there in the story of Gideon. Judges 6:34 says, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. And that is my prayer today. Let the Spirit of the Lord come upon every single one of you. Because when the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, he was able to be the commander of 30,000 warriors. From an insecure, timid man, he was able to become everything God had planned for him to become. You want to know what happens when you receive the Holy Spirit? When you say that prayer, asking the Holy Spirit into your heart? Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, what will it look like in your life when the Holy Spirit comes on you? When you cry out to God and say, God, let your Holy Spirit become real inside of me. Activate me, God. Let me become everything you've called me to be. God has given every single one of us different gifts and talents. What He has for me is so different than what He has for you, and vice versa. God hasn't called us to imitate someone else's gifts. He has called us to live out our own. If we imitate something or someone often enough, guess what happens? You're going to kill that something special, unique, and God-given inside of you just to be a carbon copy of someone else. We need to fully develop the gifts God has given us to their fullest potential. Team, you can come up now as well. Pastor Ken shared this quote last week, that our gifts are useless if they are not used. Having potential is one thing, using it is another. Every single one of you have a God-given potential inside of you. But tonight, I want to see people stepping into that place of using it. Using those God-given plans and purposes and talents and gifts that God has given you. See, let me leave you with a couple of thoughts here. Do you know envy causes neglect? Envy of others' gifts leads to neglecting our own gifts and what God has called us to. You have to pursue your own calling. Not chase down the gifts of others. Don't put on fake to get you through. Go a bit deeper. Push through. Rely on God. It is always worth the wait. God says you are enough. Who you are is good enough. You don't need to strive to be or do anything. God speaks out over you just like He did to Gideon. The Lord is with you, mighty man and woman.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.